Okay, let's unpack this. Noise. We usually think of it as just annoying sounds, something to get rid of.
Right, the static, the hum, the unwanted stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But what if noise is actually, well, more than that, like a really fascinating kind of signal?
A fundamental pattern, maybe?
Something that shows up everywhere. I mean, electronics, nature, even apparently inside your own brain.
Absolutely. It oft seems like just randomness, chaos even. But sometimes noise can actually tell you a lot about the system that's producing it.
So it's not just a bug, it could be information.
Yeah, it can be. Or
Yeah.
at least a characteristic feature. It holds clues.
And that's why we're doing this deep dive today. We're looking at a really cool tool. It's a web dashboard.
Oh, yeah.
And it lets you stop just hearing about noise and actually start seeing it. You can generate it, play with it, explore those patterns yourself.
So this is like an audio companion to the guide for that tool, then.
Exactly. We're using the info from the tool's own description, its guide, to figure out what this dashboard does, why exploring synthetic noise matters.
And maybe find some surprising things along the way.
Hopefully. So let's start at the beginning. What's the core idea behind this dashboard?
Well, fundamentally, it's an interactive playground. It lets you generate, visualize, and analyze different kinds of synthetic noise signals.
Synthetic meaning computer generated, not recorded.
Exactly. It's mathematically created noise, though it's designed to mimic noise you'd find in the real world. And it all happens right in your browser.
Okay, and you mentioned visualizing. How does it let you see the noise?
There are two main views, two charts. First, there's the time domain chart.
And that one's, well, probably the most intuitive, right? It just shows the signal's amplitude, how strong it is changing over time.
Precisely. Looks like a wiggly line plotting intensity versus time. Simple enough.
But then there's the other one.
Right, the frequency domain chart. And this is where you get deeper insights. It specifically shows the power spectral density, the PSD.
Okay, PSD. So if the time chart is what happens when.
The frequency chart, the PSD, tells you what frequencies make up that signal, and crucially, how much power each of those frequencies has.
Like a fingerprint.
Exactly. A frequency fingerprint for the noise. It reveals the character.
And the guide makes it clear this is mainly for like learning purposes.
Yeah, it's educational. It's meant to give you a hands-on feel for noise types you hear about in signal processing or electronics, physics,
Even biology, you mentioned.
even biology, yeah. It lets you connect those abstract ideas to something you can actually, manipulate and see the results.
So how does someone actually use it? Walk us through the controls.
Okay, so the guide says it's pretty straightforward. You start with a drop-down menu.
To pick the noise type.
Right. You choose from standard types like white noise, pink noise, brown noise.
Yeah.
We'll get into those. Plus, there's a custom periodic option too.
Which lets you build your own, I guess.
Yeah, we'll touch on that. So you pick your noise type, then you've got two main settings to adjust: samples.
Which is how many data points?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Length of the signal chunk, and sample rate in hertz, which is how many samples per second.
And the charts just update as you tweak these.
They update automatically, yeah. But here's a neat technical detail the description points out about the sample setting.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
When you set the number of samples, the tool actually nudges it slightly. It adjusts it to the nearest lower power of two.
A power of two, like 256, 512, 10024. Why does it do that?
Well, the guide explains it's all about efficiency. It's optimized for the algorithm used to calculate that frequency domain view.
But the PSD chart.
Right. That calculation uses something called the fast Fourier transform, or FFT.
Ah, the FFT.
And
Okay.
the FFT algorithm is way faster, much more efficient, when the amount of data it's working on is a power of two.
Huh. So it's a little optimization built right in. Clever.
It is. And then, because a lot of noise is, inherently random.
Stochastic is the term.
Stochastic, right? Meaning it has random elements. There's a regenerate button.
Okay, so if you like the settings but want a different roll of the dice.
Exactly. You click regenerate, keep the same parameters, and it creates a totally new random instance of that same type of noise.
That seems usable for seeing how randomness plays out in the time domain, even if the overall frequency character, the PSD, should stay roughly the same for that type.
Precisely. Lets you see the variability.
Okay, let's talk more about those charts. Time domain dot amplitude versus time.
Jot again.
Yeah. The frequency domain, the PSD chart, that's where the viewing controls come in handy.
Right, you can change how you look at the frequency axis, the x-axis.
You can switch it between a linear scale, lin, where frequencies are spaced evenly.
And a logarithmic scale, log, which sort of squishes the high frequencies together and spreads out the low ones.
Exactly. Log view is great if you need to see details across a really wide frequency range, from very low to very high.
And then the y-axis, the power axis on that PSD chart, also has Loglin options. But you said this one's a bit more involved.
Yeah, it's a little subtle. When you set the power axis to Lin, it's straightforward. It just shows the power in decibels, dB, on a normal linear scale. The label says power, dB.
Okay, decibels on a linear scale. Standard enough.
But if you switch that power axis to log, here's the twist. It's not just plotting the dB values on a log scale.
No. What's it doing then?
According to the guide, it takes those decibel values, converts them back into linear power ratios.
Like undoing the dB calculation?
Sort of, yeah. It calculates 10 to the power of dB divided by 10. So you get these positive linear ratios. Then it plots those ratios on a logarithmic scale.
Whoa. Okay. Why go through all that? What's the benefit?
Well, the description says this method is really effective for visualizing data with a huge dynamic range.
Meaning some frequencies are way, way louder than others.
Exactly. If you plotted that on a simple linear scale, the really quiet frequencies might just get squashed down near the bottom, almost invisible.
Ah, but this log power ratio scale spreads them out.
It spreads out those low power values, letting you see detail across the whole spectrum, from the peaks down to the valleys. The axis label even changes to power ratio log scale to reflect this.
Makes sense. And there's also an auto scale Y toggle?
Yep, on is by default. So the Y axis automatically zooms to fit the current data. But if you turn auto scale OF,
it freezes the current zoom level.
Right. The Y axis limits stay put. Super useful if you want to, say, regenerate the noise or change a parameter and see how it compares on the exact same power scale.
Good tip. And just to be clear, these display controls axes auto scale, they only change the view, right? They don't actually recalculate the noise itself.
That's a key point the guide emphasizes, correct? They just change how you look at the existing data. To get new noise data, you have to change a parameter like sample rate or hit regenerate.
Okay, let's dive into the noise zoo then. What kinds of noise can this thing generate?
All right, the main ones listed are uniform white noise, Gaussian white noise, periodic noise, inverse amp noise, which is usually called pink noise.
It's a noise, right.
Brown noise, also known as one square noise, and that custom periodic option we mentioned earlier.
And the main way they differ is their frequency fingerprint, their PSD.
That's the defining characteristic according to the source material, yes. How power is spread across frequencies.
Let's start with white noise. There are two kinds, uniform and Gaussian. What's their deal?
Their signature is a flat power spectral density.
Flat, meaning equal power everywhere.
Pretty much, yeah. Roughly equal power across all frequencies, right up to the limit set by your sample rate, the Nyquist frequency.
So no particular frequency range dominates. It's just broadly noisy.
You got it. Now, the difference between uniform and Gaussian white isn't about the frequencies. It's about the amplitude distribution over time.
How the wiggly line in the time domain behaves.
Exactly. Uniform white noise has amplitudes that are, well, uniformly distributed across a certain range. Think of rolling a fair die. Each outcome is equally likely.
Okay. And Gaussian.
Gaussian white noise has amplitudes that follow a normal distribution, that classic bell curve shape. Values near zero are more common. Extreme values are less common.
Why is that distinction important?
The guide notes that Gaussian white noise is a very common model for noise in nature. Lots of real-world random processes tend to add up in ways that result in this bell curve distribution. So it's a useful simulation.
Gotcha. Okay, next up, periodic noise. You said this isn't really random.
Not in the same way, no. It's constructed from pure sine waves at specific frequencies. The default setting in the tool uses two sine waves, one at 5 hertz and one at 15 hertz.
And the custom periodic option lets you choose your own frequencies.
And amplitudes, too, for two sine waves. It's perfect for simulating specific types of interference.
Like?
Like the hum from AC power lines that can sometimes creep into audio signals. That's usually 50 or 60 hertz. You can model that with the custom periodic setting.
Neat. Okay, now for the colored noises. Brown noise first, also called 1F inbrin.
Right, or sometimes Brownian noise, linked to Brownian motion. Its key feature is in the name. Its power spectral density falls off proportionally to the square of the frequency. PF is like 1 over a squared.
So much less power at higher frequencies.
A lot less. The PSD chart shows a pretty steep downward slope. Power drops by about 6 decibels every time the frequency doubles. That's called dropping 6 dBs per octave.
And how does that sound, typically?
The source mentions it sounds softer or lower pitched than white noise because of that lack of high-frequency energy. Think distant thunder, maybe.
Okay. And then there's pink noise, also called inverse.
Yes, pink noise or 1F noise. Its power spectral density is inversely proportional just to the frequency itself. PF is like 1 over F.
So it's still dropping off with frequency, but not as steeply as brown noise.
Exactly. It has a gentler slope on the PSD chart, dropping by about 3 dBs per octave.
And this one is special. The guide seemed to highlight it.
It's fascinating because, as the description notes, pink noise pops up everywhere. In lots of natural systems, physical processes, biological systems, even things like music composition and human reaction times seem to show 1Fing characteristics.
It's kind of a bridge between the total randomness of white noise and the very low-frequency dominance of brown noise.
That's a good way to put it. And here's the really mind-blowing connection the source material points out.
The brain connection.
The brain connection. Specifically, the link between this 1F pink noise pattern and the electrical activity in your brain when it's at rest.
You mean EEG?
Exactly. The guide mentions that baseline EEG recordings measuring your brain waves when you're just chilling, not focused on a task, often show a power spectrum that looks remarkably like a 1F distribution. It looks like pink noise.
Wow. Okay, unpack that. What does that actually mean for brain activity?
Well, think about that PSD chart again. A 1F slope means that the lower frequency brain waves, like delta waves associated with deep sleep, and theta waves linked to drowsiness or deep meditation, tend to have higher power, more energy.
And the power gradually decreases for faster brain waves.
Right. It smoothly tapers off as you go up through alpha waves, relaxed wakefulness, beta waves, active thinking, and gamma waves, higher processing. There's more energy in the slow rhythms than the fast ones, following that specific 1F pattern.
Okay, so what are the implications? Why would the resting brain show a pink noise pattern?
Well, the guide suggests some really intriguing possibilities. It hints that the brain's spontaneous background activity might share some fundamental organizing principles with all those other complex systems out there that also produce 1F noise.
What kind of principles?
Things like scale-free dynamics. That's the idea that the patterns look similar regardless of the scale you're looking at. Zoom in or zoom out, the basic structure persists.
Like a fractal, sort of?
Kind of analogous, yeah. Or it might reflect a fundamental balance in the brain's network, a dynamic equilibrium between excitatory signals telling neurons to fire and inhibitory signals telling them to quiet down.
So this abstract mathematical noise pattern, 1F, might actually be a signature of how complex systems, including our own brains, organize themselves.
That's the profound idea, yeah.
Yeah.
It suggests these patterns aren't just random quirks, but maybe fundamental markers of complexity and self-organization.
That's pretty cool. Connecting a noise generator tool to the rhythms of the brain.
It really is.
Okay, so besides looking at charts, can you get the actual data out of this tool?
You can. There's an export CSV button.
CSV, like a spreadsheet file.
Exactly. Comma separated values, clicking it downloads the data that's currently being shown on the charts.
What data do you get?
You get two files, actually. One for the time domain data, just pairs of time points and their corresponding amplitude values.
Straightforward.
And another file for the frequency domain data.
The PSD values.
Yes. And here's a useful detail the guide notes about that frequency export. It's always exported in decibels, yeah. dB.
Always in dB. Even if you were viewing it on that special log power ratio scale on the chart?
Correct. Regardless of your display setting for the power axis, the exported frequency data uses the standard decibel format, which is handy for consistency if you're taking the data elsewhere.
Good to know. Any quick peek under the hood, what's making this dashboard tick?
Sure. The description mentions it's built with pretty standard web tech. HTML for structure, CSS for styling, and vanilla JavaScript for all the logic and calculations.
Vanilla JS, meaning no big frameworks.
Apparently so. And it uses chart.js, which is a popular JavaScript library specifically for drawing interactive charts.
And all the hard work, the noise generation, the FFT, the PSD calculation that happens, where?
It all happens client-side, right there in your web browser, on your own computer.
Not on some server somewhere.
Nope, which makes it fast and responsive.
How does this compare to, say, doing this kind of analysis with professional science tools?
Well, the guide contrasts it briefly with environments like Python, using libraries such as NumPy and SciPy. Those tools are built for heavy-duty scientific computing, often with highly optimized numerical algorithms that can handle enormous data sets very efficiently.
So this browser tool isn't for, like, massive research projects?
Probably not its main goal. The distinction reinforces that this dashboard is primarily educational. It's fantastic for illustrating the concepts interactively, letting you see the differences between noise types and play with parameters. But maybe not the first choice for processing gigabytes of measurement data for a research paper.
Makes sense. Does the guide hint at what might come next for the tool? Any future plans?
It does mention a few potential enhancements, yeah. Things that could be added down the line.
Like what?
More noise types, for instance. They mentioned maybe violet noise.
Violet? What's that?
Power increases with frequency, proportional to frequency squared, the opposite of brown noise. Or maybe gray noise, which is tailored to sound perceptually flat to the human ear.
Oh, interesting. What else?
Adding filters would be really cool. Imagine generating white noise, then running it through a simulated low-pass or high-pass filter right there in the tool to see how it shapes the spectrum.
Yeah, that would be great for understanding filtering concepts.
Or maybe combining noise with simple signals, like adding a controllable amount of noise to a clean sine wave.
So you could visualize signal-to-noise ratio.
Exactly. See how the signal peak stands out or doesn't from the noise floor?
Any other ideas?
The big one, maybe, is audio output. They mentioned the possibility of actually letting you hear the noise you're generating and manipulating in real time.
Oh, wow. That would really bring the different colors of noise to life, wouldn't it? Hearing the difference between white, pink, and brown noise directly.
Definitely. It would add a whole other sensory dimension to the exploration.
Okay, so let's recap our journey here. We've taken this deep dive into this web dashboard using its own guide as our source.
Mm-hmm. We've seen how it works, generating synthetic noise, visualizing it in the time and frequency domains.
Especially understanding those power spectral density charts, the frequency fingerprints.
Right. And we explored the different noise types it offers, from the flat spectrum of white noise to the slopes of brown and pink noise.
And, of course, we touched on that really fascinating connection highlighted in the source, the link between the 4F pattern of pink noise and the background rhythms of the resting human brain.
Yeah, that's a standout point.
So overall, this tool seems like a really neat hands-on way to get a grip on concepts that are pretty important in science, engineering, lots of fields.
Absolutely. It lets you see the patterns hidden within what might seem like pure randomness. It makes abstract concepts much more tangible.
It's a reminder that noise isn't always just junk. Sometimes it's structure, sometimes it's information.
And thinking about that pink noise EG connection again.
Yeah.
It leaves you with a pretty provocative thought, doesn't it?
Which is?
That these fundamental mathematical patterns, these noise distributions like 1F, might be a kind of universal signature. A sign of complexity showing up across incredibly different systems.
From the sound of a waterfall, maybe, to the stock market, to the firing patterns in your own head?
Exactly. It makes you wonder, where else are these fundamental noise patterns quietly shaping the dynamics of the world around us? And maybe even within us, in ways we haven't even recognized yet.
That's definitely something to mull over.
And really, the best way to appreciate these ideas is to try it yourself. If you can access this web dashboard, definitely play around with it.
Generate the different noises, flip between the views, tweak the settings.
And actually watch those different frequency fingerprints, those unique patterns, emerge right there on your screen. See the theory in action.